Welcome back to another Edge God In podcast. Thank you for joining us today. We're going to be discussing the title of today's podcast is going to be around temptation. The title is How to Rebuke the Devil. The two learning objectives from today are pretty simple. One, understand what tempts you when you don't get what you want. Two, learn how to do what Jesus did when he was tempted by the devil. So when you walk away from today's podcast, you're going to have an understanding of what is it that tempts you, that causes you to be enslaved, as 2 Peter 2:19 says, a man is enslaved to whatever has mastered him. What does enslaved mean? It means to lose your freedom of choice. That means, for example, if you are enslaved, our last podcast, we talked about substance abuse. We talked about Jesus as being the ultimate rehab. And there are people, and many people, that are enslaved to a specific substance. There are people that are enslaved to food in different ways. There are people that are enslaved, perhaps you are enslaved by different addictions in life. Anytime that you lose your ability to stand against something, basically your choice point disappears. You say things like, I just can't help myself. When you say, I just can't help myself, that means that's language that reveals that you have been enslaved by something. Well, I just can't help myself. It can be something like gossip. I just can't help myself. I know what I want to do, like in Romans chapter 7, where Paul says, hey, I know what I want to do. I don't do what I want to do. I keep doing what I don't want to do. And then he says, thanks be to God. Jesus is here to save me. Well, thanks be to God. Jesus is here to save all of us. We are all enslaved by different things. So one of the learning objectives is to understand, what are you enslaved by? What tempts you? Particularly when you don't get what you want. When something pops up and you have an urge or desire and it's not fulfilled. We're going to take a look at the reflection in Matthew chapter 4. This is one of my favorite verses, simply because it shows what Jesus did when he was tempted by the devil. We're going to do a little bit of comparison to the Old Testament. Fulfillment of the New Testament and the Old Testament is called typology. And so we're going to do a little typology and looking at how the New Testament is actually fulfillment of the Old Testament here. We're going to be looking at how the verses that Jesus uses to rebuke the devil are actually verses from Deuteronomy. And they're directly linked to the captivity of the Israelites and the great exile and the journey through the desert. So why did it take the people 40 years to make a 9-day journey? What was up with that? It's a 9-day journey when you're talking about MapQuest in it, and it took them 40 years. Perhaps you're feeling like you're in the desert and it's taking you 5 times as long to get to where you want to be. And you find yourself tripped up in different and enslaved by different temptations around you. This is a good podcast to be attentive to. So let's jump in. For any resources that are linked to this podcast, please visit us at edgegotin.com. You'll also find a one page that will go through 4 different phases of learning to help you capture the learning of today's podcast and apply it. Our goal is to make the complex simple, which means understandable, applicable, sustainable, and transferable. So basically, you'll hear something today that you'll say, wow, I want to remember that. Write that down. Look for 1 to 3 things that turn those lights on inside your castle. Oh my gosh, that has value to me, and that helps me thrive in my relationship with Christ. Pause, write it down, review it over the next 24 hours, and then the next 24 hours, so 48 hours, just review it 2 times, because that ups the probability that your brain will actually take that new learning and be able to transfer it. And then write down an action step that you commit to. In Sherpa Executive Coaching, we call it the IC2. IC2, I commit to. So write down something that you are going to commit to as a result of a new learning from today's podcast. So let's jump in prayer in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, sweet Jesus. Thank you so much for waking us up today. We would cease to exist if you failed to think of us. Grant us the grace of high noticing around those areas of what tempts us. What are we enslaved to? Because for us to even implement a change behavior, it's so essential for us to become aware of what is it that has entrapped us, that enslaves us. Give us the grace to step out, unzip and step out of those things that have enslaved us in our life, and to learn from you, specifically from Matthew chapter 4, what you did when you were tempted, because you made it happen. You were the fulfillment. You were the faithful one that overcame the temptations. The people, the Israelites, and we are the people roaming around in the desert for 40 years were unfaithful. They continued to murmur and complain, even though you provided food, you provided water, you provided manna and quail, and you took care of the people. And we continue to complain. Help us, Lord. Help us to move from a complaining place in our perceptions to a place of gratitude and thankfulness and conviction to stand firm against the temptations and to use the same method that you did. We love you, Lord. We're nothing without you. Grant us the grace quicker today to hear your voice behind us saying, this is the way, walk in it. Help us to make you recognizable in our words, our thoughts, our deeds, and our actions. And free us, Lord. Free us. Help us to stand firm and not allow ourselves to be burdened by the yoke of slavery. Whatever that manifests as in our lives, we give you permission to empower us by the Holy Spirit to master that which has mastered us so that we can run and not grow weary, walk and not faint. In your most precious name we pray, in the name of Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. So let's jump into the scriptures here because this kind of speaks for itself. Let's look first at Matthew chapter 4, and let's look at the first temptation that Jesus, and we'll give a little context here to this specific scene, which, looking at the Old Testament with Moses in the desert, the parallels are extraordinary, because here we have Jesus he's in the wilderness and he's tempted by the devil for 40 days. Here we have Moses, and Jesus is actually, during that time of the 40 days that he's in the desert, he's fasting for 40 days, similar to Moses, who was fasting for 40 days on Mount Sinai. So he's in the desert. Jesus is in the desert. Again, Jesus got it right. He, in the sense that Jesus was faithful, whereas the Israelites continued to stumble, Jesus is the fulfillment. He's the new Israel, the new Moses, in the sense that he was faithful where they were not. And he provides the ultimate sacrifice for our sins, whereas there was a need for continual sacrifice in the Old Testament. So here we see Jesus, after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was very, very hungry. We're told in verse 2, he was hungry. He was experiencing hunger. We all know what that feels like. And perhaps your hunger is for something other than food. That speaks to a man as enslaved to whatever has mastered him, hungry for something. And the tempter drops in at that time. That's why one of our learning objectives is to really look at what tempts you when you don't get what you want. Because when we're hungry, what do we want? We want what we crave. If it's food, whatever, if it's a substance, if it's position in life, if it's popularity, we crave different things. And these things end up enslaving us. Again, the definition of enslavement is to lose your freedom of choice. That's when you say the statement, I just can't help myself. So perhaps that's your one takeaway from today. I just can't help myself. You'll never look at that phrase again because you'll know you're enslaved. So the tempter comes along in the weakest moments. Nothing new. Perhaps that's happened to you in the last 24 hours. You're weak. You're in what's referred to as the halt, when you're hungry, angry, lonely, tired, or sick. That's when your personality and your emotional acuity, basically your ability to show up the way you want to, is going to be highly compromised. So here Jesus is, 40 days fasting in the desert, just as Moses was praying in Mount Sinai. Here Jesus is in the wilderness for 40 days, and the tempter comes and says, hey, first temptation, take notice. Matthew chapter 4, verse 3, tempter comes in, if, so that's again, he is planting questioning of his identity here. He's planting questioning of his identity. We're about to launch a book on identity theft. A colleague, good friend of mine, Jen Klopek, and I are launching a book on identity theft. This is what's happening here. The tempter pops in and says, hey, if you are the Son of God, not claiming that he is the Son of God, if you are the Son of God. So this, again, anytime anyone questions you, just be aware of the fact that that's literally going to make the lion of ego go from dormant to live. Think about when anybody questions your ability, questions whether you know the directions to get from point A to point B. I've seen flare-ups with that. Questions whether you know what you're talking about. That's your identity. Notice how that can be something that enslaves you. Your ability to prove competence. That might be something that triggers you. So the devil says, hey, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Ooh, that's a good temptation, because that temptation matches the weakness. So notice that when the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, he's going to know where you're weak. And if you don't know what happens when you're weak, you're going to be very vulnerable to attack. Know what happens to your behavior when you become weak, and stand firm. When I was training for my black belts, one of the things that the master trainer was constantly said was the skill set outside of the ring. You've got to, it's essential to establish your skill set in the Lord outside of the ring. So when you're face to face with your opponent, you're going on muscle memory because you've practiced it enough. So have high noticing, again, around what happens to you when you don't get what you want, what temptations hit you. So here the devil comes, and he basically says to Jesus, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Now, let's flip back to Deuteronomy. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 16 through 18, to give a fuller model of reality. This is looking at the New Testament in light of the Old Testament. Fuller model of reality here is here Satan is understanding the scriptures. If you are the Son of God, tell those stones to become bread. Huh, very interesting metaphor here. Tell the stones to become bread. He's speaking about a temptation that the Israelites experienced when they were in the desert. This was a craving that they had for food. They were hungry. So in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 16 through 18, we hear, he gave you manna. This is the scriptures. He gave you manna. God gave the people manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors has never known, to humble and test you. Do you trust that God will provide? The manna was sent to humble and test the people, so that in the end it may be well with you. You may say to yourself, and this is still the scriptures, Deuteronomy 8, 16 through 18, you may say to yourself, and perhaps you've said this, I know I've said this before, you may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember, the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce the wealth. When we put the onus on ourselves, we make ourselves extremely vulnerable to rising and falling depending on circumstance. When we entrust ourselves to God, that releases attachment because we know whose we are in Christ. Therefore, we can trust God in those desert times to provide. So here Satan says in the first temptation, if you're the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. In Deuteronomy, we see Deuteronomy 8:3, and Deuteronomy 8:3 says, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the word of mouth. That is the scripture that Jesus responds with. He is pulling from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, We flip forward into Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, and Jesus responds with the scripture. So here's your clue for the second learning objective from today. Learn how to do what Jesus does or did when tempted by the devil. What did he do? He used scripture to rebuke and to create the block against the attack. He said, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. So again, he's pulling through the fulfillment of the fact that he is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. He is the new Israel. And he has come to rebuke the devil on that and to be the fulfillment. Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Deuteronomy 8:3. So we move to the second temptation. So to sum up the first temptation, it was all about the temptation on desire. You desire something. You're hungry. You desire food. You're questioning your self-worth and your sense of belonging. Then you'll start to get spun by things that have to do with popularity and being seen by other people. But this is desire. The first temptation has to do with desire. And Jesus rebukes it and turns it back. Your desire should be for one thing. Should be focused on every word that comes from the mouth of God. That's what we should be hungry for. Every word that comes from the mouth of God. Not the things of the world. So, second temptation. Jesus has in the desert. So, the devil moves right along. Goes right to the second one. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. And he says to Jesus, if, again, causing that questioning of identity, this happens to us all the time, you guys. It probably happened to you this last week. If somebody said something, are you sure you know what you're talking about? Are you sure you completed this? Or somebody in conversation would probably say something that would trigger you, whether or not you're competent. Are you sure you know what you're talking about? So that questions your own worth and value. If you're not grounded in Christ, you'll be tossed around like a cat toy. So Jesus is standing in a place of depletion because he hasn't eaten. And the devil's second temptation is, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. So basically, this is like a Shazam Superman type thing. Hey, the second temptation has everything to do with power. Come on now. You're bigger than this. We see a lot of power in our society these days. You know, people flaunting power. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. So throw yourself off here. Do this. Do that. We see tons of below-the-line behavior just to get attention, to show power. And power over others is weakness disguised as strength. When you have power and a desire for power over others, it's actually weakness disguised as strength. So the devil actually catches on to what Jesus is doing, because Jesus rebuked his first temptation with scripture. So by the second time, it didn't take him very long. The devil pulls in scripture. He pulls in the scripture from a psalm. It's actually Psalm 91:12. And says, for it is written, he will command his angels, Psalm 91:12, concerning you, and they will lift you up with their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. Jesus comes back again with scripture to rebuke the devil. It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to test. Jesus quotes again from Deuteronomy 6:16. Do not put the Lord your God to test. So we see here power, a craving for the expression, or show me that you're powerful. Show me that you're powerful. How many times do you experience that urge to show your power, to show that you're competent? I refer to it as the fame game, because I know it well. I want you to see me in a really strong, powerful light. So it's playing that game to be seen as a powerful person, in your field, in your profession, possibly you take power positions at home, the need to be right, the need to be understood, the need to be liked. These are all power positions. So the second temptation is directed on power. First one is on desire. Second one, we read on power. Now the third temptation, Satan took Jesus to a very high mountain in this temptation and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. All the kingdoms of the world and their splendor, just the beauty. I refer to these as the shiny objects. So basically the devil took Jesus and showed him all the shiny objects of the world and their splendor. And he says to him, now in the third temptation, he's not questioning or saying, if you are the Son of God, do this. Now he's just jumping into one of our very familiar as human beings, baser, below the line, ego-driven needs of greed. All this I will give you, all these shiny objects. It's the not enoughness syndrome he's playing on Jesus here. All this I will give you, he said, if you bow down and worship me. I heard the other day of people that have actually committed their life to serving Satan because of this agreement that they heard that they had, that they wanted fame and fortune. So this is something that's going on in modern times in terms, and we do it in smaller ways too. People have referred to it in movies as selling your soul to the devil. It's basically playing the worldly game of that status, the high rank or social standing. This is the third temptation, which focuses on status. I want to be high ranking. I want to have a very popular social status. We see the shadow side of this increasing tremendously, particularly in the lives of our youth who are losing their sense of identity and their purpose and value. Two, the social media den. It's the lion's den. People are devoured, literally devoured. Their sense of self, meaning and significance, safety and connection are devoured in the light of the social setting if it's not managed by faith in Christ. If it's not managed by resisting temptation, people are enslaved to social media. So perhaps that's an area of reflection. It is on mine continually. The Holy Spirit bumps me and says, put down your phone. Turn it off, walk away. Make a decision to set a healthy boundary around your desire to pursue the standing ovation and the applause. Know you're enough in Christ. So Satan's playing on that in the third temptation. Took Jesus to the high mountain, showed him all the shiny objects, says, hey, you can have all this if you bow down and follow me. Jesus' response was actually taken from Deuteronomy 6:13. He quotes 6:13, or a version of it in Matthew chapter 4, verse 10, Jesus says, away from me, Satan. So now this is the third temptation, and he declares, even before the scripture, away from me, Satan, for it is written. Notice that Jesus said, for it is written, for it is written, for it is written, three times. For it is written. What is he doing? He's putting into motion Deuteronomy 8:3. Live on every word that comes from the mouth of God. He's using the word of God to rebuke Satan. Jesus says again in the third temptation, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And serve him only. At this, the devil left him. And this is a beautiful part of this verse, verse 11, angels came and attended him. Have you ever had a time when you found yourself under the hood with temptation? You lost your sense of identity, perhaps in your position. Perhaps you've lost things very valuable for you, playing the fame game. You missed out on time with your family. Your kids are all of a sudden grown up and you've been following the pursuit of more success and not enoughness. And as a result, there are ramifications of those choices. Either way, Jesus calls us to begin again as soon as we become aware of it and to align ourselves with what we value most and putting God on the throne of our heart, to worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice and follow him. This day I set before you, another verse from Deuteronomy, this day I set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life. Choose life that you may live. And Jesus says in John 10:10, I have come that you may have life and have it to the fullest. The devil comes to kill and destroy. The devil comes to kill and destroy. How does he do it? The three temptations that we read about in John, in Matthew chapter 4. Desire. Boy, do we get enslaved by our desires. Desire to be seen, acknowledged, recognized, good enough. Am I enough? Am I competent? We lose our identity and power. The sense of power, the second temptation, and the third temptation, status. Desire, power, and status. High ranking. Not enoughness in our society. We see it everywhere. It's exhausting. The youth are losing their sense of identity. They don't even know whose they are. They don't know why they're here or why they matter. So as a result of that, why should I stay here? Why should you stay here? This is a result of enslavement. This is losing your freedom to the things of the world that Satan was offering. Satan was offering, hey, I'll fill your desires. I'll absolutely fill your desires. I'll give you power to do things where people will say, oh, look at you, look at you. And then I'll also give you status so that you'll have a following of thousands and thousands of people, high rank and social standing. And Jesus said, no, rebuked each time with the word of God from Deuteronomy 8:3. Deuteronomy 6:16 and Deuteronomy 6:13. I'll post these scriptures. They'll be posted at edgegodin.com under this podcast, the podcast, How to Rebuke the Devil. That's the title of today's podcast, so that you can reflect on these and ask the Holy Spirit to sift your heart. This Bible study is coming from my Bible study this week. This is, I've been giving the Holy Spirit permission to sift my heart on this. And think about your own life this week. How do you know when you're enslaved by something? The body gets involved. You can't sleep. You're ruminating. You're letting ants destroy your picnic, which has been incredible work on automatic negative thoughts. There's certain red ants that pop in, that of fortune telling and mind reading. We'll make up a whole drama and cast ourselves smack in the middle of the drama. Perhaps you've done that this week, and it's mastered you. 2 Peter 2:19. We are enslaved to whatever has mastered us. And we know we're mastered because we don't feel like we have a choice. Our negative thoughts are driving us versus us choosing our thoughts. And Jesus was masterful at rebuking the devil with scripture. And that was our second learning objective from today's podcast. Learn how to do what Jesus did. Learn the scriptures. Meditate upon the scriptures. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Even just taking that verse, how can that transfer into behavior this week? What does that look like for you? What simple step could you take to be able to show in your behavior your love for the Lord? One of the practices that I encourage clients to do, and I encourage myself to do this on a daily basis, is take advantage of transitions. I'm confident that you'll have probably a handful of transitions, even today and tomorrow. You'll go from one thing to the next. Anytime you're going from one activity to the next activity, that's a transition. So I'm inviting you to explore, expand the gap. Just imagine if you can expand the gap between what's happening outside of you. Let's just say someone said something to you this week that you know that's not true about you. Just like Satan was saying, if you are the Son of God, that wasn't true. If you are questioning his divinity and the fact that he was the fulfillment of the Old Testament. He where the Israelites stumbled, Jesus was faithful. He knew whose he was. He was the Son of the living God. He was the fulfillment of everything that happened in the Old Testament. And we see this written out in the scriptures. And Matthew was very attentive to this, to the analogies and the parallels made in the from the Exodus of the people wandering around in the desert. But you guys, we could take this on a daily basis. Use your transitions rather than desert times to ruminate on the things that you haven't gotten or that haven't worked out for you, or words that people said that didn't align with you. If someone said something to you that you know is not true, take a deep breath in that transition and reflect on the scriptures. Get the Bible app, pull out the scriptures, and even you can even Google the Word of God on a specific topic. Scriptures that have to do with self-confidence, that help you remember whose you are. I am part of a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, is a powerful scripture. Who am I? I have been crucified with Christ on the cross, so it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. This life I live by faith alone in the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me. Another scripture, I believe this one's in Romans. The insults of those who insult me have fallen on you. Can't tell you how many times I've used that one. Because if I find it as an insult and it has nothing to do with who I know I am, if it does have something to do with who I know I am, then that's an opportunity for me to humble myself and say, oh, sorry, I was totally out of line there. You totally called me out on that. It's amazing when you own your stuff, how that flatlines the disruption of arguments and conflict in relationships. Simply owning your stuff, what's mine. In Sherpa executive coaching, we call it the kitchen. When you're in your kitchen, know what's in your kitchen. Know what's yours and own it. And as you do that and reflect that in conversation, it's amazing how when someone's like, well, you did this and that really upset me. And you just sit back and you say, you're absolutely right. Watch what happens. So own your stuff. Hold on to what's yours for learning opportunity and a growth and humility, and release what isn't. Because the devil does the same exact thing every single day to all of us. It just shows up in different words, but it's the same theme. It causes us to question our identity. You know, if you're really good in this, then that shouldn't have happened. Watch your language. So perhaps this week, as a forward action step, you could focus on one, capturing your inner dialogue. How do you talk to yourself? And who's planting those thoughts? If it has to do with questioning your identity, then look up scriptures that anchor your identity in Christ, because there's a lot of them out there. And learn them, store them in your heart, and do what Jesus did. Get thee behind me, Satan. Get away from me. Because you know what? I choose to remember that the insults of those who insult me have fallen on you. So, Lord, you are standing in the gap. My identity is in Christ. It's not in the opinions of other people. We forget that all the time. And so we rise and fall depending on how the world judges us. And we start to say, I just can't help myself. I'm just worried. Well, we're told in scriptures that not to be anxious about anything, but to pray about everything. And the peace of Christ, which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We have the ability to have peace in the midst of chaos. And that has to do with pausing, taking advantage of the transitions that we have in our day. So have high noticing around your transitions. Declare the change behavior that you're going to do in your transitions, rather than just letting life direct you or your expectations be the boss of you. You be the boss of your expectations and your thought life. Come in, look at the dialogue, and do what Jesus did. Rebuke, declare a scripture, shake it off, and move on to your next moment, inviting the Holy Spirit's grace and wisdom. Help me, dear Lord, to remember whose I am, because I'm forgetting in this moment, and so it's freaking me out, and I'm scared. And I think that I'm the opinion and the behaviors of these people around me. Help me to remember whose I am. Help me, Lord. I need your grace. Jesus runs to help restore our identity, because he knows what it's like to be tempted around identity, because he was tempted in every way and yet did not sin. So he knows the remedy. He has the solution. He has the antidote. If you're bit by a snake, you're going to want to go get the serum to counter the poison. The serum to counter the poison of the things of the world, of desire, power, and status, the three things that Jesus was tempted by. The serum is the presence of the Holy Spirit, the word of the living God, and taking that time in prayer to connect to God on a day-to-day basis. We forget that. We forget whose we are and the victory that we do have in Christ. All things are possible for those who believe. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. These are all scriptures that when you store in your heart, when I went through advanced cancer, they would come, the Holy Spirit just, once you've stored a scripture, the Holy Spirit can make it go from dormant to live, just as it did for Jesus in the desert. So what is your desert? Do you understand what tempts you when you don't get what you want? Do you not feel that you're enough when you don't get what you want? Do you have feelings of insecurity when you don't get what you want? Go beyond the fear and ask what's really going on there. When you don't get what you want this week, which I'm pretty sure if you're still wearing this earth suit and you're walking in earth school, something's going to happen this week and you're not going to get what you want. Pause, notice where you feel it in your body and ask, what is this about? Because it's either fear or love that's driving you. And love comes from God. And perfect love casts out all fear. If it's fear, it has to do with what Satan was trying to mix Jesus up in that he stood against, which is power, desire, status, desire for status, even in that situation, going for the rank. Ask what's really going on there. What do you want? What did you want to happen? What would you gain from wanting what you wanted to happen? Go deeper and really find out what's going on behind the scenes. And then crawl up into the lap of Christ and say, sweet Jesus, help. Help me with this. Jesus was very simple. He loved people right where they were at. And he loved them enough not to leave them there. Pick up your mat. Get up. Is there anyone here to condemn you? Take off the grave clothes. Move forward. Your sins are forgiven. Jesus was all about new beginnings. And his healing was not based on time or intensity. It was based on compassion. Meeting the person where they are at and calling them out of their grave clothes to where he saw them as going, which allowed him on the cross to say, forgive them, Father, they don't know what they're doing. He knew that hurting people hurt people. I've been praying daily. I live in Highlands Ranch, and the recent shooting took place down the street from us. And as in all the shootings in Colorado, I pray for everyone concerned. I pray for the people that are in custody. I pray for the boy that lost his life, for everyone that witnessed it, for the stress that goes around it. Pray for all concerned. Just as Jesus entered in, we are to be God's hands and feet in every situation, because we do have temptations to judge, and that's another area that will enslave us. So be very careful and make God recognizable in all things. Dear Lord, show us how to be more like you today than yesterday. Grant us the grace to be able to stand against the evil attacks of Satan. And just as Satan, it didn't say it in Matthew, Lord, but just as we are told that Satan went away and waited for another opportune time, give us the strength to stand firm, knowing that the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, looking to devour us at our weakest moments. Help us to know, to understand what our temptations are, to write those down so that we are very crystal clear, so we know exactly whose voice it is in our head, and that we can and we can stand against it and rebuke and do what Jesus did and stand against that temptation, particularly in this time. Help love to guide our way, love and compassion, and to pray for a resurrection of identity, particularly within our youth and in adults. Remind us of whose we are. We've lost our way, God, in so many ways. We're all in the same boat. We're all enslaved by something that has mastered us. Grant us the grace to unzip the cloak of slavery and step out and into the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells within us, that gives life to our words, our perceptions, our understandings, and gives us the grace to live in your freedom that you died to give us, so that we can run and not grow weary, walk and not faint. We pray for healing of our land. Dear God, we are told in the scriptures that if my people would turn and seek my face, I would heal their land. Heal our land, Lord. Heal our land. Use our hands, our heart, our presence to make you recognizable, so that when people encounter us, that they walk away having encountered you and curiosity starts to come up. I want that. You are all about the ripple effect, Lord. So shine your light through us, so that when people see the good deeds that you move us to do, so that when people see that we aren't enslaved by the things of shiny objects and power and desire and status, that the freedom would speak for itself, that people, they would see our good deeds in that way and want to know you. More of you, Lord, less of us. We thank you for the opportunity to be with you, to walk with you. Thank you, Jesus, for being the fulfillment, for making it happen, for being faithful. Where the Israelites stumbled, you were faithful. And as a result of that, it's salvation for the entire world. Today, in our hearing, this has been accomplished. Thank you, God, for calling us out of darkness into light. Wake us up, Lord, so that we could declare your praises to the ends of the world. Help us to be humble, to lead by love, not judgment, knowing that anything led by judgment repels and love draws in, just as you did. Thank you, God, for the opportunity to stand against temptation. And help us, Lord. In the next 24 hours, we will all be tempted in some way. Jump in and help us. Thank you for hearing our prayers. And we invite you to continue to be the Lord of our lives, our thoughts, our perceptions, our desires. Shift our longings to want what you want us to have. May your holy will be done, Lord, now and in the future. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Thank you for joining us today. Feel free to re-listen to this podcast and to reflect on the scriptures from Deuteronomy and from Matthew chapter 4. This is a very rich study, this podcast. Take your time with us. Ask the Holy Spirit and really seek that freedom from enslavement, so that you can understand what tempts you when you don't get what you want. And you can learn from today's podcast to do what Jesus did when he was tempted by the devil, so that you could be free. Run and not grow weary, walk and not faint. Enjoy your gift of life and enjoy practicing. Join us for more podcasts at edgegodin.com. Again, you'll find this podcast posted as well as the scriptures under How to Rebuke the Devil. I look forward to our next podcast together, and give them heaven out there. Give them heaven. God's favor to you.